The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host, and on today's instalment of I'm Talking To You, originally recorded and broadcast on Wednesday, January the 29th, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled Magnum P.I. is 80 Years Old Today. And the time is 9:46 a.m. here in London, making it 4:46 on the east coast of America and 1:46 on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, I'm going to jump back to the show title, which I don't generally do. I love a title like this. I love it when you get a year, like an 80, a 70, a 50, you know, something on the 10, shall we say. But what I like especially about this is I never really got into Magnum P.I. I've bought a lot of old cop drama type things. There was something about it that I read up on it and I just couldn't get excited about it. I mean, I've got all the Streets of San Francisco. I've got the Hill Street Blues. I've got Starsky and Hutch. The first series was good. Then it sort of tried to become comical, wasn't very good. So all that sort of period, you know, early 80s, if you want to talk about what was on at the same sort of time, the A-Team, got all of that, love that. Couldn't really get into Knight Rider. I watched it at the time, but then I bought another set and watched a couple of episodes and it was not for me. Same with The Incredible Hulk. So there's all sorts of different things. Airwolf, never watched, didn't know what that was like. Chips, didn't like it. A couple of guys on motorcycles. I understand they didn't get on in real life. Something I heard at the time. But anyway, going back to the show title, rather than digressing into a pointless list of television programmes from that era, when I was 11 years old, in 1984, my stepdad let me buy Dirty Harry for £9.99 in Woolworths, I believe. And that was an 18 film. It came out, what, I think 71 was Dirty Harry, wasn't it? It was the first of the Dirty Harry films. And that film, because back then, you know, that's like, it's quite a lot of money, especially for a kid. And you get something like that and you watch it again and again and again. It's not like now that you can pick up these things in, you know, DVDs and charity shops, sometimes, you know, £5 for £2, something like that, £3 for £1. These were, you bought something like that and it was something you invested quite a bit in, so you would watch quite a lot. So a few years ago, having first seen it when I was 11, when I realised I was now older than Clint Eastwood was when he played Dirty Harry, it really gave me a strange feeling. So for those of you who are familiar with Magnum P.I. and enjoy it, it'd be interesting to see how you feel today when this guy, the actor Tom Selleck, who I presume is the same as Magnum P.I. because that's who he played, is 80 years old today. And I haven't really seen him in many things. I saw film-wise, all I can think that he did was Three Men and a Baby. Although apparently I read, I think on here, wasn't he one of the actors considered offered the role of Indiana Jones and turned it down for some reason? That's a big career mistake. And Three Men and a Baby, not for me at all, not the sort of film that I would watch. And I did see him in a programme called Blue Bloods, which I bought the first series of. And the funny thing was it was created by Robin Green and Mitchell Burgess, who were some of the most regular writers on The Sopranos, so it was their next step up from writing for a show to creating their own. The premise is it's about a family of cops, you know, grandfather, son, all this sort of stuff. They're all cops and what have you. But the parts of the episode that focus on them all sat around the dinner table, you know, that might have worked in The Sopranos, even worked to an extent in Dallas, but it just didn't work for me in that format. So I didn't bother with it, even though there were some other good actors in it. For example, there was that guy out of the Saw films who I much preferred standing on that block of ice. Donnie Wahlberg, is it? One of the Wahlbergs, anyway. But yeah, that was a show that didn't really develop for me, and Tom Selleck is the lead character. I know the show's still going. I wonder if he's still the lead character, because he was the commissioner of police in the first ever episode I saw. Would he still be able to do that at the age of 80? Who knows? That's television. Okay, so let's move on to what I have downloaded this morning to listen to throughout the day. Now, I'm going to preface this, even though I haven't heard any of these things. I made the comment yesterday about you have to be so careful with what you say on the radio in the UK, and you're going to find out later that I'm quite correct in what I'm saying for where they want to go. But I know, for example, I got the latest three videos off the Victor Hugo BitChute channel, and I also got the Siege the Day show from yesterday from the Dave Gahari section of ftjmedia.com. And these shows are things are said on those shows that I've heard in the past that could probably get me into trouble if I was the same on this show. So if you don't like things like that, don't go there. That's what I would say. Because of the censorship and what have you in the UK, more people are drawn to shows that are uncensored, because everything's censored in the UK. I mean, porn, that's not censored at all. You can get away with the most disgusting things, and that's completely legal. But things that might point out a little bit, certain facts that they don't want you to know in this country, they censor them for some reason. So it seems to me that they're protecting certain people rather than the whole population. Let's just say that. So those were the two areas that I would proceed with caution. And I also got two videos by Richie from Boston. And that was from yesterday and the day before. Just put them up yesterday. They weren't there this time yesterday morning when I looked. Quite interesting. The first one talks about how AI was asked how they would do a Project Northwoods style attack. And Project Northwoods was, of course, when the CIA went to President Kennedy and said they wanted to bring a plane full of American tourists down and blame it on Cuba so they'd get an excuse to go to Cuba. That's the way these psychopaths' minds work. So, you know, how come these people running a military, a secret one at that, rather than being in a mental institution or a prison where they belong? Just goes to show. He said no, and he was dead not shortly after that, but I believe that that was for other reasons that Michael Collins Piper goes into his book Final Judgment, anyway, so the response came back with all the different things that the chat GPT or AI or whatever it's called would do. That was interesting, and that was on the one from the 27th, and then I've just got into the one from the 28th. And the other thing that I have to listen to is the third hour of yesterday's Jeff Wentz program, which I don't believe is up for free on Wentz.com. I think you have to be a subscriber to get the latest reverse speech revelations from David John Oates. But that's always a very interesting hour to get into each week and see what's come up in the reverse speech world. Okay, so let's see how the news has been developing since, well, Monday's show, because I was delighted to have Peter back on. So 2 days worth of news for you. Start off with, these are all Daily Mail, which I'm sure you'll be shocked to hear. And these are all headlines. Excuse me. The cities that will be submerged by global warming, sea levels could rise by up to 6.2 feet by 2100, warned scientists, so is your hometown at risk. And they followed up this up with a similar article again yesterday. So they're really pushing the climate change again. And of course, by going through the different towns and cities and that in the UK that will be submerged. It's designed to get people to buy into this propaganda, in my opinion. But they don't stop there. They also go into cities around the world that would end up underwater. And the follow-up article seemed to go into more the overseas build-up of water, what have you, climate change, etc., etc. So, yeah. The next one I saw to mention to you was Ozempic left me with deadly bone-thinning disease. Singer Avery, 30, reveals in heartbreaking confession. Please don't make the same mistake. So, I haven't heard of that coming from Ozempic. Apparently, I've not heard of Avery, this singer, either. But she does say in the article that she was dropped by her record label for being too fat. And she thought she needed Ozempic to be beautiful and successful. But tests have now revealed she has osteoporosis, a condition that puts sufferers at high risk of deadly fractures after losing too much weight on the jab. She's got 250,000 followers, presumably on YouTube, although it does not specify. Oh, no, Instagram, I can see above, so that's probably where they are. So, yeah, there you go. Not good news from this Ozempic. And then, I think this is how the news cycle works. For years, we've been told, if you see a disabled toilet in some areas in Britain, there's sometimes a sign above it that says, not every disability is visual. Because some people, they probably see someone who looks fairly able-bodied going into the disabled toilet. Oh, why are they going in the disabled toilet? They are not disabled, you know. And so I think they're hinting there that someone might have a mental disability. And this idea of having mental disabilities, and let's talk about our feelings, and, oh, you know, it's perfectly fine to just admit we have problems and all these things. This was just designed to weaken people. There's an old British expression, stiff upper lip, best foot forward. You know, whatever happens, we just go forward. We have to just suck it up, as some people say. Well, get this for a headline. It's all I can give you because it's from the Mail Plus section of their website, which you have to subscribe to Mail Plus. It says to continue reading. It only gives you the headline. Nadine Dorries, now she was very pally with Boris Johnson. She was a Conservative minister, I believe. It's time people stopped using their mental health as an excuse and learnt how to deal with life's ups and downs. So that's a very different message to what I've been hearing over the last few years about, oh, you've got to be aware of your feelings. And Prince William, as I mentioned before, sat down with a load of footballers talking about mental health. I mean, yes, obviously job done in weakening people, and now they need to bring the hammer down. And let's see some other people that they used to be very reluctant to criticise, but now are going for it, it seems. Asylum seeker attacked police officer 2 weeks after being spared community service for assaulting another cop due to health and safety rules. And I noticed down below that this was a Jordanian national, and the person attacked, this Jordanian national, Mustafa Al-Mabaydin, pushed and spat at Dorset police constable. That's where I was a police officer. That's the person that was assaulted. Does it say where the town was in which he did that? No, I can't see at the moment. I didn't get into it too deeply, but I worked in a couple of places. He was charged and released on bail to appear at Paul Crown Court. Oh, he caused a confrontation on Bournemouth Beach. Okay, so that's where I did my probation, in Bournemouth. Okay, let's move on to there's so many stories I've got over the 2 days. Failed Albanian asylum seeker wins the right to stay in the UK for the sake of his wife's children by another man. Now, this guy was due to be sent back to Albania, but he successfully appealed under the European Convention on Human Rights. Next, we have Jamaican drug dealer who beat his partner avoids deportation after judge rules he is the only person his gender-questioning child can speak to about the issue. Two minorities in there for the price of one. Fury as transgender killer is allowed out of prison for surgery to reduce the size of Adam's apple. Next, Good Morning Britain host Ranveer Singh apologises after she faced furious backlash for failing to mention Jews as being victims of the Holocaust. And then we have Angela Rayner faces backlash for not directly referring to Jewish victims in Holocaust Memorial Day tweet. Then we have now criticising two-tier policing can be example of far-right extremism, leaked Home Office report claims, and I presume this is the same Home Office report. Home Secretary Yvette Cooper rejects calls in leaked Home Office report to widen definition of extremism to include the far left, conspiracy theorists, and violent misogyny. Well, again, somebody thought that it would be a good idea to criticise conspiracy theorists who are basically people that disagree with an official version of events. Now, there are some people that would like to jail you for 5 years for questioning an official version of events, and it seems that that definition is looking to be widened. But fortunately for now, it's been rejected. But as I've said on this show, they want to silence anybody who questions the official narrative. They don't want any criticism whatsoever because they worry that what they do is generally so bizarre and makes no sense that people that come out and make sense, if they get enough people listening to them saying, well, this is common sense, that might threaten the government. And the government is not your government. It has not been your government for a very long time. It basically represents some interests that seem to have, well, we talked about how wherever the white countries are, they seem to be subjected to the same sort of policies that many of which end up harming those countries. So why is that? What is this hatred and this desire to tamper with those countries? It's the immigration thing, for one. There's never not enough, it never goes the other way around. It's never, there's not enough white people in Nigeria or China or Japan or Brazil or anything like that. It's always traffic coming the other way. And it's not even geographically specific, because they'll do it to Australia, they'll do it to America, they'll do it to the UK, throughout Europe. It's all different corners of the globe they do it. Yeah, if you say anything about it, oh, are you talking about some, you must be a conspiracy theorist. Yes, that's what they're scared of, people actually working things out that are very simple to work out. All you need to do is you just need to remember in the Bible it says, by their fruits ye shall know them. So liars and people that want to harm you, they're not going to come out and say, oh yeah, we're doing this because we want to harm you. They're going to do something to harm you and then try and say it's for your benefit somehow, because they want to harm you. And if they make it too obvious that they're doing it, then you might resist. So they have to lie about it at the same time. There's so many important passages in the Bible that if people just remembered those quotes, I don't think that the powers that should not be, because they should not be, because they're not the people that we elected, they wouldn't have the control that they have today. Next, exposed the scams behind flood of complaints by online shoppers who order a laptop and receive a worthless bag of sugar, and how you can get your money back. I did actually have a bit of a look at this one, because talked about it on the show before, and I do like going back to things that have an interesting development. And this sort of thing happens to many of us throughout the world. I, for one, took three attempts to get some books from a Christian publisher in America that would only accept cash. And so they would also only accept dollars. So I had to change English pounds into dollars. Then I had to send them guaranteed to America. And on two occasions, even though they were guaranteed, it was all listed as what it was, someone in the post office stole it. And I was like, well, you know, surely one person signs for it, then another, and then another, another. But they still find a way around it. So it was, I was unable to send cash from here to America. And it said where it had got to, and it had got to America on both occasions. I had to, in the end, pay someone, a friend online, the money, and then give them a little bit extra for the trouble. And then they sent the cash to this person in America, and I got my books. But yeah, it's happened to me. But these are the different scams. So, the first one is the tracked refund scam. One, criminal orders high value item. Two, upon receipt they switch it with worthless item. Three, apply for a refund then send it back to the warehouse. Four, warehouse doesn't check the item then processes refund. And five, law-abiding person receives worthless item instead of high value order. Right, how can we deal with that? Well, firstly, the warehouse needs to check the item. Now, the warehouse might say, well, if we check the item, then we might have to, you know, it might be unopened, got a security tag on it, like a phone or something like that. So if we open it, then we've automatically reduced the value of the item. Well, what they could do then is they could say to any people that buy this sort of expensive item is, look, if you suddenly decide you don't want it, then you're going to have to pay a certain amount for us breaking open the seal when you return it to check that you've returned the right item. Because some people are managing to get these items into the boxes without breaking the seals. Next, we've got the courier scam. One, courier steals item while out for delivery. Two, switches it with another in the same box. Three, wrong item is then delivered to customer. Now, I'm going to throw this in now because I know how forgetful I can get. The solution to all of these for the consumer is when a courier brings something to your door, then you say, hold on, be ready with a box cutter or whatever. Make it clear you're using it to open the item in front of the person, not for any other purpose. And just check it in front of them. Because what they do, it happened to me the other day, I think I got a kettle. And they give me the kettle, then stands back and takes a photo of me with this box. Now, anything could have been in there. I didn't really bother because I didn't think people would be changing things around for a £35 kettle. The problem is that they've got other items to deliver and they just want to run away. But if you say, hold on, if you've got an expensive item, this expensive item, I want you to wait and then do it. Now, this would not work if they've left the item with you, but they shouldn't be leaving the item on the doorstep if it's high value. So that's the way I would certainly deal with this. And I will do in the future if I order anything. There's just nothing really expensive I need. If I buy a phone, I buy them second hand. I don't buy new things much anymore, to be honest. The third one is the warehouse scam. The worker steals, one, worker steals and hides item in warehouse. Two, switches it with another of the same weight. Three, wrong item is then put out for delivery. Now, that is how I thought all of this was happening, the bag of sugar, all that sort of stuff. I thought it was all being done by unscrupulous people in the warehouse. But then I thought to myself earlier, a lot of these things now are done by robots in Amazon. But also, you know what Amazon are like? There's been all this scandal about their working practices and stuff like that. I'd be very surprised if they didn't have cameras all over their warehouse. A bit like if you ever seen the film Casino, when Robert De Niro is talking about the cameras in the casinos and now everyone's watching everybody else because, you know, money, all these people are basically, they know every trick in the book, so they have to be watched to make sure that they can't be stealing stuff. It sounds like that must be one of the favourite films of that guy who Donald Trump's going to give $500 billion to, Larry Ellison, isn't it? because then they have so much AI and so many people watching everything that everyone will behave themselves. They won't dare do anything, so it'll all be you'll be on camera 24/7. What a wonderful world. Okay, so the final one, and I couldn't really understand this one. Fake postman scam. Criminal orders high-value item on someone's stolen credit card. Another law-abiding person receives this item without ordering anything. Fraudster dressing up as a postman arrives the next day to take parcel. So it sounds a little bit complicated to me. I wouldn't imagine that that is too common. There's so many areas there in which, you know, the whole thing could fall over and the thief could be apprehended. Next we have, this could be propaganda, could be true. North Korean troops gnaw open their own veins, headbutt concrete walls, or blow themselves up with grenades, screaming for General Kim Jong-un rather than be taken alive, Ukrainian soldiers reveal. Well, maybe they're worried about having to produce 500 kilograms of feces in a month, which I believe is what they're demanding in North Korea. Again, according to the Daily Mail, if that is true as well. That's something that we covered a few days ago. And finally, criminals could be sentenced to work at Iceland instead of being sent to prison in bid to tackle jail overcrowding. Now, that's not the country Iceland. That is a frozen food supermarket called Iceland, which incidentally, I have tend to get a lot of my food from. And I've spoken to someone in there before because I've had things like, say, a curry, 2-3 times the price from Waitrose, and the quality was better in Iceland. I've had, same with other things in there, things like pizzas. You get all these brand name pizzas, and they're no way near as good as some of the Iceland-owned ones that you can get. And they said, well, it's just snobbery. People go to these other places. You know, the food there is very good. And I heard years ago that they weren't accepting GMO. So I don't know if that's still the case. But essentially, what they're doing here, it says that senior executives at the supermarket say they could be handing out jobs to low-risk offenders facing short prison terms, as part of a suspended sentence. And the idea is, obviously, prisoners would be working for the retailer before having to spend any time in prison. And they've had a meeting with another man I have a lot of time for, and this is now Lord Timpson. What he did, he has a shoe repair shop, which not many people use these days because they don't have shoes that need soles and heels replacing. I still wear Chelsea boots. I've worn them for years, so the soles and heels wear out, and I've got someone I know very well in my local Timpson. He's very good. And what this guy did over the years was he was a great big supporter of rehabilitation in prisons, and that's why he was given a job by this government, one of the few decent things that the Labour government have done. They've got a leaflet here, Second Chance, a model for rehabilitation. And he likes to get hold of people in prison and train them up to be shoe repair people in his shops when they get out. I don't think that necessarily means everybody who works there has been in prison. I've kind of always wondered about the guy that I know. Has he been there? Was he rehabilitated? But it's a bit of an embarrassing thing to ask, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? So I never have, even though I'm curious. But it'd be interesting to see how they define low-risk offenders, because when you see all these people being locked up for protesting the murder of three toddlers, you'd have to say that they were pretty low-risk, yet they were letting a lot of other people out that were seemed to be more dangerous people, let's just say that. But again, that's if you believe. There's two schools of thought on prison. It's either for rehabilitation or punishment. So you either want to change the person, make them a better person, or you want to punish the person. Well, I agree. I argue that there's a two-tier prison system. Anyone who says or does things against government policy that they can get away with locking in prison, they're in prison as punishment. All right, that's what happens. But if you're there and it's things that the government aren't too bothered about, like thieving or drugs or stuff like that, and before anyone jumps in, well, how many stories have I read about police forces that don't do anything about burglaries anymore? Well, the police forces ultimately report to the government. If the police does something wrong, they always say, oh, the head of the Metropolitan Police has been summoned to Downing Street to explain this, that and the other. So, yeah, they were responsible to government. So there's obviously not any real desire of government to crack down on burglaries, but there is a desire of government to crack down on people saying things online that they do not like. So, as I say, they're the ones that are going to be punished, and other people, they're going to look at rehabilitation. So I'd be very surprised if this scheme does go ahead with Iceland Supermarket, if you'll be seeing any speech or thought criminals who obviously are low risk being given that opportunity. Okay, so let's see what's going on in the mainstream media right now. Associated Press, apnews.com. The top story is federal judge temporarily blocks Trump. I'll start again. Federal judge temporarily blocks Trump administration freeze on federal grants and loans. So just like last time, we've got this nonsense going on again, which Trump should have realised was going to happen and have some sort of executive order in place, which means these people are not allowed to do this. And I fail to accept that, well, it's the American law, you can't get away. They can do what they want when they're up there. But you didn't vote for Trump. You voted for whoever controlled Trump. And again, Trump got elected. I mean, what a great grift. Just turns around and says, well, I want to do it, but I can't because these judges, you elected me to do it, I've tried to do it, but these judges just stopped me. What if the whole plan was him to say that? They all knew that what the judges would do because that didn't suit the people who were really in power. So it makes it look like Trump tried, but there's nothing else he can do. A bit like listening to Jeff Rentz the other day talking about, I think there's an average of 400 and something people being deported every day from America now. Well, people say there are 30 million illegals in America. So at that rate, 433, that's 4,033 every 10 days, which makes it 40,000 and odd. I'm not going to try doing the 33. 43,000, something or other. So in a year, you're looking at around 150,000 to 200,000 at that rate. So if it's 200,000, give them the benefit of the doubt, then it'll take 5 years to be a million. That means it'll take 150 years to get the 30 million, taking into account that these people don't have all these children and stuff like that while they're here. So again, it's he's doing what he said. He's deporting people. But at what rate? You see? It's very easy to say you're going to do all these things. You just do them in a different way than people thought was going to happen. You're still doing them, aren't you? Okay, let's move on to BBC News. Let's see the top 10 trending stories at the moment. See if there's anything of interest. I clicked on this one earlier. It's number 2. Trump offers millions of federal workers 8 months' pay to resign. So this seems to be targeted at, well, federal workers generally. He said there are too many of them. So this is like a voluntary redundancy scheme, we call it in the UK. 8 months' pay is pretty good going. In the UK, I think you get 1 week for every year of service under the law, and you only get that after a couple of years. I've been made redundant a couple of times, and they, if it's sort of a big company, they generally go over and above what the legal position is because they're a big company and they like to look good. But, 8 months' pay is pretty good going. But with the state of robots and AI and all that sort of stuff, people might be very unwilling to let go of their jobs for fear of not getting something similar or something at all. Roman Abramovich could owe UK £1 billion over tax dodge that helped bankroll Chelsea FC. And the doomsday clock was moved closest ever to destruction. But I wouldn't panic, folks. I looked at this yesterday. It was at 90 seconds to midnight, and they've moved it 1 second to 89 seconds to midnight, and it's all because of climate change and different things like that. War in Ukraine, which I think is completely is theatre, in my opinion. Excuse me. So I'm certainly not bothered, but well, not for that. I still believe that they might want to hit other countries as well. I have more belief, shall we say, in the Albert Pike letter about the three world wars to Giuseppe Mazzini than I do in this doomsday clock. Okay, so let's see what's going on the Daily Mail top story. Trump uses first press briefing to finally reveal what really caused the mass drone scare under Biden's administration. Now, I'm delighted that that headline is there, because Richie from Boston mentioned this too. He played it was one of his aides, I think. And apparently, according to this aide, it was a combination of actual official US government drones being tested and other people flying drones. Which Richie from Boston doesn't accept at all. He says that this is all just absolute nonsense. There's more going on. Back at the time, he points out that the government was saying they didn't know what it was. And they were trying to say it was probably Iran, flying drones, things like that. And now we get this story. Okay, so let's jump over to see what's going on in the independent media right now. And we'll start off with RT.com. OpenAI founder admits China's DeepSeek is impressive. And that's Sam Altman. But he has vowed that his firm will deliver much better models in the future. There's been talk about some sort of a tax on this DeepSeek because it's a lot cheaper, or it's open source or something or other. I get all lost with this technical stuff. But a lot of people in America are quite surprised about it and quite concerned that it's a lot better than they thought it would be, and certainly a lot better value for money than what the American tech sector is offering. And then we've got CIA, Israel and conspiracy theories, what to expect from the JFK files. Well, I'd be very surprised if they actually tell us what I consider to be the truth. Rents.com, let's see what's going on over on Jeff's website. So, still got the Crypt Keeper on the slider. And, oh, there you go. I was right. There you go. My memory's not as bad as I thought. Here's his headline. Trump's deportation is only averaging 433 invaders a day. Do the math. 30 million invaders here now. This is looking like a fraud and a psyop. Give them 30 days to self-deport. $1,000 each at border, or do 2 years in a labor camp helping to make MAGA, make America great again. Yeah, they're there illegally, but this was something that Jeff talked about on the Monday, first hour of the Monday show with Donald Jeffries, that I believe is up on the website somewhere, rents.com for free. So go and hunt that one out. I always listen to that first hour. Also, Gary Holland was on for the second hour. That's probably behind the paywall. He's another person that whenever I see him on rents.com, I listen to his hour. He does very interesting shows as well, along with many other people. Let me see. HalTurnerRadioShow.com. What's going on here? Well, this is an encouraging sign. Border jumpers plunged 92.9% in Trump's first week. Again, where are these figures coming from? If they are government figures, you're going to certainly expect them to err on the side of making Trump look good. But if he has sent these people to the border, which was essentially left open, if we're to believe the independent media under the Biden administration, then you would expect a significant change. Okay, let's move on to earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Elsis website. See what is going on over here. Just waiting for it to load up. Scroll down. What's the video at the top? It's by the Electronic Intifada. I've heard of them, but I don't know if I've ever seen anything that they've done. Bringing Israeli soldiers to justice around the world is the title. It's a 42-minute Rumble video. The link, of course, is there, or you can watch it directly on the website. And the music of the day is Alchemy by John Lloyd. Sorry, John Lloyd, Richard Lloyd. John Lloyd was the producer of The Young Ones. I've been watching some of that recently, so that's why I got the name muddled up. Haven't heard of, the only Alchemy I've heard of is the live album by Dire Straits, which is very good. I haven't heard of Richard Lloyd, but he was a founding member of the rock band Television. I have heard of them, but I don't know if I've ever heard any of their songs. It's one of those things that I might have heard it, but not know it's Television. So anyway, if you're interested in that, there's some information there under the music section. Sensor.news, let's go over there. Mike Adams, news aggregate website. And again, like Alex Jones, I've not been tempted to go over to these people since Trump's been in. Because it's just like, well, I guess they'd be like Fox News that's pro-Republican. And I'm into the conspiracy stuff. I'm not into people making things up for clickbait. That gets up my nose no end. But I think there's enough things that Trump has done that these people should be talking about, such as not putting his hand on the Bible, such as the $500 billion to Larry Ellison, all these other things. But instead, we see sort of what appears to be continual support for Trump, which I don't think is correct. Okay, beforeitsnews.com. We'll round up with our beforeitsnews.com top 10. How have we done? How far are we in time? 41 minutes. Stretch away from the 20 or so that I wanted to be, but a show becomes a show. And so long as the content is worth listening to, I'll get through everything that I have. So, the beforeitsnews top 10. Let me scroll down to number 10. Went up 9 hours ago, 119 people viewing. Cliff high next 7 weeks. New power source to take down governments. That's a Substack audio file, apparently. Number 9, went up a day ago, 123 people viewing. Dr. Brian Ardis. Everyone needs to pay attention to this. I bet they do. Number 8, went up 4 hours ago, 148 people viewing. SG Anon. Dumbs raided in the biggest military ops ever. Thousands of children rescued from Dumbs. I think that's deep underground military bases. Right. Number 7 went up a day ago, 155 people viewing. Live, Mike King, Patriot Underground, situation update. Number 6 went up 7 hours ago, 162 people viewing. WTPN situation update. Trump's US military clamps down. EBS activated. This is not a test. Reminds me of the start of the Prince of Darkness film, that the soundtrack of which I was listening to before I went to bed. I was trying to influence my dreams, probably in a negative way. But it starts off with "This is not a drill." Very good film, Prince of Darkness, by John Carpenter, very underrated. Number 5 went up 4 hours ago, 182 people viewing. Kim Gogwan, full situation update, Dragon Families Antarctica. That's a new one on me. Number 4 went up 4 hours ago, 196 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted. Trump's first week in office, Trump turned on water to quench LA fires. Number 3 went up 9 hours ago, 226 people viewing. New X-22 report, January the 28th, Trump studied the enemy, the military, and Trump got them all, 2025, yippee. Number 2 went up 4 hours ago, 282 people viewing. Wano Savin, EBS activated in 100 cities, Nasara, Gasara, QFS activated. And number 1 went up 13 hours ago, 334 people viewing. Michael Jayco, urgent emergency, JFK Jr. still alive, the hidden secrets. Okay, so just before I play the closing music, I want to let you all know that I'm going to be at my mum's probably most of the morning tomorrow, so I've got to leave, eat something. It's not going to be until the afternoon UK time that I'm going to get the show done and uploaded for you to listen to. So please leave it a while. I hate wasting people's time. The quickest way to get it is to put your email address in the subscribe box on the website, achshow.com. Whenever I post a show, I subscribe to myself, and literally within a few seconds, I get the email with the show in it. But also, if you're worried about anyone monitoring that, I don't know your addresses are or anything like that. I don't know if they're stored anywhere on the website or stuff like that. But I don't know where to find them. But you may be worried about other people seeing you subscribe to my website. I've mentioned before that there are certain, you know, radio shows that ask you for money that I wouldn't actually pay for, because that could be problematic for me in the UK. They could say, oh, well, you're paying for this stuff, and this is, you know, this is, you shouldn't be listening, paying for this sort of material or what have you. Do you know what I mean? You have to be so careful, because if the idea in the UK is if they can get you on something, they will. That's the way that they work it. Okay, so on that note, I want to thank all of you for joining me today, this Wednesday, January the 29th, 2025, for a show entitled Magnum PI is 80 Years Old Today. I'll be back with you all tomorrow. And again, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day, and bye for now.